I saw a link to a story saying that Chrissy Evert, who won a few Grand Slams in her time, in her mid to late 60s now, I think she is. She has been in person at the Australian Open every year for the last very many years as a commentator and analyst, and she's not going to be there this year in person because she has had a diagnosis of stage 1 ovarian cancer. Her sister died of ovarian cancer a few years ago, younger than Chrissy, and her sister was caught with, I think, the cancer at stage 4. So the chances of her living through the treatment that she then underwent are very, very low. But why I wanted to talk about it this afternoon, because it brings up this issue of gene testing in relation to a disease that you think you might develop as you get older. For example, I had my genetic analysis done last year, and I found out that I don't have the gene which apparently predisposes one to Alzheimer's. I was told by the doctor who was going through my genetic results with me that I mustn't take that as gospel in any way. The fact that I don't have the gene doesn't mean that I might not develop Alzheimer's, and people who have the gene don't automatically develop Alzheimer's. In Chrissy Evert's case, her sister had a gene test which told her that she wasn't predisposed towards ovarian cancer. And then when they did a reanalysis with refined genetic testing, which has become available since her death, they discovered that she did have this gene, in fact. So Chrissy Evert went and had the gene testing done, and she found she too had that gene. So as a result of that, she went to see a doctor, and her ovarian cancer was diagnosed stage 1, which makes it that much more treatable. Professor Michael Herbst joins us now, cancer health specialist and patient advocate. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
What's your view on doing the genetic tests which can be done to find out if you have or don't have genes which predispose you to certain potentially fatal diseases?
You know, screening is also always one of the most important things that we can do to reduce our risk for cancer. And there's different screenings available for the different cancers. But now talking about the sad diagnosis of Chris, you know, I know her very well because I'm so much older than most of the listeners. So I watched her play tennis in her very strong days and winning her 18 Grand Slams. So it really touched me sort of, you know, when I heard that she was diagnosed. I think it's important that we talk about just the risk factors, and then I will talk about screening. You know, the important things around ovarian cancer, firstly, as you mentioned, is the gene mutation. Now, there are two gene mutations that are important and that apply to ovarian cancer, and that is, we usually talk about the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene mutations. Now, the BRCA is BRCA, and all it stands for is breast cancer. So it's the breast cancer 1 and the breast cancer 2 gene mutation. And especially the BRCA1 is number one as far as ovarian cancer is concerned. That increases the risk of course, breast cancer, because it's the breast cancer gene, but it also increases the risk of ovarian cancer in women, but also certain cancers in men, because men can also have the breast cancer gene mutation. Then another health problem that a woman could have will be endometriosis. A personal or a family history of breast cancer, infertility problems, smoking, obesity, and then to be older than 55 years. And we know that Chrissy, now at 67, of course, falls into the age group that is so specific. So the important gene test to have done, if you are afraid that you may be at risk, is to go and see your GP and ask that you would like a genetic testing for BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes and the mutations, and let them tell you whether you are at risk or not.
How expensive is that testing? I mean, is it something which is available to most women, or is it something that...
Yes, it will be available to most people. I mean, most genetic testing isn't very cheap, and it may cost... I'm not certain at the moment exactly what the laboratories will charge, but it will most probably be a few hundred rand.
Which for some people is unaffordable and for others can be done.
Yes.
And the presence of the mutations, I mean, obviously, as you say, Michael, it increases risk. But by how much? I mean, so do you get your result back saying you have the mutation on both these genes? Do you then panic, or do you go, okay, I must now get regularly tested for... I mean, how do you respond, or how should women and men respond to the news that they have these gene mutations?
Well, you know, I think the first thing is... People will, or any woman would, of course, be shocked to hear that I am at risk. And there may be quite a lot of anxiety until you've got certainty that you don't have it at the moment. Because you see, the problem with ovarian cancer, we very often refer to it as the silent killer, because it has very few signs or symptoms. Of which, you know, bloating is normally mentioned. You'll see that in every textbook. Now, we all feel bloated at times. There's not any abdominal or pelvic discomfort in the beginning. So that is really very, very difficult. Until the cancer has started spreading to other organs, then we start seeing signs and symptoms. And this is most probably why Chris's sister was already well advanced with her ovarian cancer by the time that she was diagnosed, and it was beyond adequate treatment. But I think let's be just a little bit more specific and tell people, because if you read the website, you will see that Chris has been diagnosed with stage 1C. Now, that is the lowest stage, is stage 1, but 1C means that there is cancer in one or both of the ovaries, and one of the following three things in addition to that: that the cancer is also found on the outside surface of one or both of the ovaries. So it's not inside the ovary anymore. It is now also on the surface. So it is starting to be a little bit more problematic. Or the capsule or the outer covering of the ovary has already ruptured or opened up. Or the third possibility is that the cancer cells are now found in the abdominal or the peritoneal cavity, and it's floating in the fluid that is normally present in amongst the organs. Okay. So we don't know exactly what the 1C is as far as Chris is concerned, whether it is maybe that the cancer cells are already floating about in the abdominal cavity.
But as a general rule, would you say that if you can afford it, if your medical aid will pay for it, and you think you are at risk of any potentially fatal disease, it would be a good idea to have yourself tested for the genes which predispose?
It's only an investment, because remember that it also... could tell you whether you're at risk for ovarian cancer, but also for breast cancer. Mm. And we know that this is the number one cancer amongst women worldwide, except for in South Africa, we've got a little bit of a difference. And breast cancer is still, for all women in South Africa, is still the number one cancer. But when we look at the different population groups, with black women, cervical cancer becomes cancer number one and breast cancer becomes cancer number two. But so it's not only for ovarian cancer, it also
I was speaking more generally, not just very specifically about ovarian. If there is a gene which can be identified, which you know or science tells you predisposes one, the holder of that gene or that gene mutation to a particular disease, the advice is, if you can afford it, if your medical aid pays for it, have the test done. Professor Michael Herbst is the health specialist and patient advocate at the Cancer Association of South Africa.